Hello from Bear and Kura, a podcast from the Land of Oz Information Services. I love you, Kura.
I love you, Bear.
This is episode 123 of the Bear and Kura podcast. We're going to talk about this week's hospital visits.
This is going to be a short podcast. Bear was in the hospital again two times this week.
Yes, I was. And not fond of it at all.
No. Well, why don't you kind of explain what happened?
I've been trying to build up my stamina by getting back to walking 10 miles a week. And I was getting pretty good at it. On Sunday, after we had finished the podcast and I got it all edited and published, it was such a nice day, I wanted to go for a walk. So I went down to the Keeper of the Plains.
Sorry, everybody. So you're down, you went down by the river for a walk.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole other thing going on. Ever since my gallbladder burst and I had it removed, I've had problems with diarrhea. It's not like I have an infection, you know, my body's trying to get rid of it. It's just like everything moves. It's not like liquid diarrhea, but
it's quick acting.
Yeah, and it'll like flush everything out of me. And then, you know, I won't go for 2 days because there isn't anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's ever since like my gallbladder burst. It started out like twice a month. But it keeps getting more and more frequent until now it's like twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those hit me while I was on that walk. Well, when those diarrhea bouts hit me and I start getting the stomach cramps, I also feel very lightheaded and very tired, very weak. And here I was in a walk, and I knew I had to walk back to the car and get home or get somewhere to get on the toilet. And that made me very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I started headed back towards the car, and I just couldn't stand anymore. I knew I was going to fall down. So I sat down, and I believe that's when I called you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you called me when you were walking still, but I told you to take a seat.
Because I knew that if I was talking to you and you heard me stop talking, that you could hang up and dial 911 for me. Well, the second time I sat down, I could not get back up. I just couldn't. And there was a couple who was walking in the direction where I was going, and I asked them to help me, and they ignored me. They probably thought I was a homeless person, considering where I was, even though I had earphones in and all this hiking equipment and everything. But I looked at the guy, and I says, I just need help getting up. And he says, oh, okay. He comes back and puts his hand out and pulls me up. And I said, could you walk with me until I get back to the Keeper to get my car? And they said, yes. So they walked with me, and I walked, I don't know, maybe 100 yards. And I knew I was going to pass out. And I think that's when you told me you need to sit down.
Okay.
So I laid down in the grass, and I think at that point I threw up.
Mm-hmm.
I think I vomited twice. And the woman gets out her phone and she dials 911. She's trying to describe where we're at, which is a little difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're at a street intersection. And it took them a while to get there. I still had you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
We heard sirens, and then the sirens stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe they went, that I had someplace else to go. But then a couple of minutes later, they came. And I told them what was wrong, and they transferred the phone over to you, and you t- told him what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the I don't know if I was conscious or not during some of this.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would know if I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
They put me on a gurney and took me to the ambulance. And in the ambulance, I said, I have these bouts of diarrhea, and I have one now, and I'm going to defecate in my pants if I don't get to a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we'll get you there as soon as we can. When it got me in the emergency room, I said the same thing. And they brought me a commode. I specifically asked for a commode because I knew I didn't want to have to run off to some room and hope nobody's there and all. So the nurse, he helped me sit down on the commode and I flushed everything out for the first bout. And as I went to get up, I passed out.
I didn't know about that. Okay.
The nurse was right there with me. And he said, your blood pressure is extremely low. It was 90 over 40.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I think that happens every time I have one of these bouts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so I'm in the hospital, and they have me officially down with chronic diarrhea. And I'm having stomach cramps, like, every 10 minutes, trying to push everything out. And they're not letting me have anything to stop the cramps.
Mm-hmm.
They think this is like a bacterial infection and I need to get it out. And they need to get stool samples every time. Well, when this happens, I usually take Imodium after the first bowel movement and then every second one after that.
Okay.
And after a couple of hours, it stops and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wouldn't let me do that.
Mm-hmm.
They would give me pain medicine, but they wouldn't do anything to stop the cramps. And I had those for 18 hours.
The cramps?
Yes. And about 12 hours in, they said, oh no, you've got blood in your stools. And I'm thinking, of course I do. I've been doing this for 12 hours now.
Mm.
They didn't want... Because of that, they wanted to do a CAT scan, which I'm okay with, and some x-rays, and call in a GI doctor.
Mm.
And so eventually they got one, and he come in, and he still wouldn't let me have anything for the cramps. I believe that was the next day. Was it? I was in an actual room and not in the ER anymore. And so I looked at you and I said, get my keys. And you said, why? I said, because there is a thing on the keychain and it has Imodium in it and I want it. So you got it out and I took two of them and then my cramps started going away. Never told the doctors in the hospital that.
Of course not.
I should have thought of that much, much, much earlier. If I could have got to it before it stopped bleeding, they would have just said, okay, go home.
Yeah.
So, I had lots of fluids. I believe the papers say I had 7 liters of fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think your body only holds like 9 liters of blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was urinating a lot. Didn't need the bedpans anymore because I could get up and go to the bathroom. But, bedpans is another experience I'd never had before.
I've never had that look like fun.
Mm-mm. It's not. And where was I?
Talking about if you took the Imodium earlier, you would have got out of there earlier.
Yeah. So the next day I'm in a hospital room and they do lots of tests. They can't keep up with my insulin because they're managing my insulin, and I would be much more aggressive about my insulin
and stuff like that
than they would be, which is hard to give up that control. But
yeah, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah. And so when it got to the point where I had solid stools again and I could eat solid food, they would release me. So I said, get me some solid food because I want to get out of here.
I'm going to get out of here.
So I had to wait for that. And then that was Tuesday when I was released.
Yeah.
And I believe I worked remotely half the day that day, something like that. On Wednesday, I was working at home, didn't want to get too far from the toilet, and I started having chest pains. It felt like it was under my sternum. Didn't radiate out or anything like that, but I took my temperature, and it said 100.9, and it was red. I guess that's a fever because it's green when I'm okay, and it's red when I have a temperature. So I called you and said, when you get home, I want you to take me to the hospital.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know, going to be a couple of hours. And you showed up right away. Somebody apparently took you home.
Yeah, got a ride home from a coworker.
So you took me to the hospital again, went through the ER again. It's much easier when you get to the ER from an ambulance because they do all the paperwork and everything. You just sit in the bed.
And let them do all the work.
But the waiting room experience at a ER is not fun.
No. Yeah. The clown show.
Since I told them I had chest pains, they did look at me right away. And when they did, then all these shave spots on my chest are where they put the leads on to do the test. And they determined I wasn't in any danger at that point. So I went back out to the waiting room and waited and waited and waited and came in. They gave me some phosphorus, I think, and an IV. I don't know why. And back out in the waiting room, wait. And then they put me on a bed and put me into an emergency room. And I told them I needed a commode. And they gave me fluids. They were just going to wait until the fluid was done, right? And then I could go. So eventually waited that out and got home. It appears that it wasn't my heart. It was just a muscle strain from probably getting in and out of bed.
Yeah.
But they said when you have a fever like that, it is a good idea to have a professional
opinion.
Yeah. So most of the week, well, a little less than half of the week, I spent in the hospital. And the other days I worked remotely from home. Fortunate that I'm able to do that.
Very fortunate.
I discovered that an important process that's supposed to run every night never got run that entire week. But at least they know that they still need me, I guess. Yeah.
So when do you plan on going back to work?
I'd like to go back to work on Monday tomorrow, but I'm hesitant to get too far from the bathroom.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. While I was in there the first time, they kept pumping fluids into me, and my bladder is expanding, and I cannot urinate. Just can't. It's not because I'm pee shy, because I'm not. I just the muscles wouldn't do anything, or they wouldn't let go. And they said, if you don't go, we're going to have to put in a catheter. And eventually I said, I don't want a catheter, but my bladder is bursting. I've got to get this out. So these two nurses, female nurses specifically because they both said, catheter is no big deal. You'll be fine. And so they go get the sterile kit and everything, put on the gloves, and stick this tube up my urethra. And I screamed 3 times, blood curdling screams that probably scared everyone on that floor.
Scared me, and I knew what was going on. I was sitting there watching it.
You would think they would put some kind of like numbing lubricant or something up, but I don't think she did. I think she just stuck a tube up there.
No, she put something around it.
Oh.
She rubbed something around it. And
I can't see because my belly's too big to see my tiny dick.
No, it's she rubbed something on the tube, the outside of the tube, and then around the head of your...
Well, it did nothing to for the pain.
I imagine it probably did. It probably just didn't help as much as you preferred. So, but yeah, they're very quick with what they do too. Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I'm pretty sure I got
a
urinary infection. So when I got home, I was peeing a lot, but I expected to with all those fluids, but it was getting more and more painful. So I called the doctor, and said, I think I have a UI. And they said, you've got to come in to get a urine test before we can do that. And it turns out our neighbor that we share the driveway with decided to re-roof his house and block the entire driveway, so I could not get out. I could not find anybody to take me. And even if you had come home, you still wouldn't have been able to get the car out.
No, not at all.
So eventually my doctor consented to give me the pills for the UI anyway. Out the test, and I'm pretty sure that's what it was, because since I started taking the pills, that urination is not nearly as painful as it
good,
was.
Good.
So, I still have a bit of that, and it worries me that if I'm at work, I only have like 1 minute's notice before the
urge to pee comes on.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason we got you to Penzo too.
Yeah, we did.
So, hopefully that'll give you some sort of ease of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, so that was a pretty exciting week for us.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what else happened. Neighbors getting the roof done. So we were kind of stuck in the house.
You can probably hear them hammering in the podcast.
Yeah.
I have some AI software that might be able to remove that. One other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I made stickers for the Gay Pride Parade, and I'm planning on making stickers from some of our episode covers for the podcast episodes. And if people would like, I will mail them a set of 9 stickers. No charge, and you won't be put on a marketing list or anything, because we can't afford marketers anyway. But if you just send me an email, the email's right there on the website. You send me an email and give me your address, and I will send you 9 Baron Kura stickers. What do you think of that, Kura?
I think that's a good idea. I think it's a cute idea. Be crazy when they drive down the street and see someone have their sticker on the back of their car, though.
Oh, it's not like you would put,
yeah.
It's like you would put on your shirt or
something. Okay.
They're about
paper.
3 inches across, I think.
Oh, like the ones we... Okay. So. Yeah. I think it's a good idea. People can show support.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute idea. So, are you going to run any promos with it, or just get the stickers? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, it's a nice gift, too. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? A nice little nothing for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's a good idea, I think. I think, you know, hopefully people will enjoy them.
Yeah, me too.
So, well, is there anything else you wanted to discuss this week, or?
Well, you want the joke of the week?
Yeah, why not?
You have to pretend that you've never heard this joke before.
Okay. Get in the zone. All right, I'm ready.
What's the difference between an oral thermometer and a rectal thermometer?
I don't know what.
The taste.
I forgot the punchline on that. That is good. I heard the joke before, but I forgot the punchline. That's a good one. That's an old school joke right there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's I told you it was going to be a short podcast this week. Like I said, we didn't really have time really to prepare anything, so we apologize about that, but...
We hope you liked episode 123 of the Bear and Cur podcast. This is Bear.
This is Cur.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Bear and Cur podcast, a production of the Land of Oz Information Services. We can be contacted via email using the address podcast@oz.com. And Oz is spelled A-W-E-S.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.